Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
This is a Hosehead production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified, meant from apes. JFK shot in the head by the CIA. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably clones. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast, Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on? I'm being a fancy bitch today. There goes our warning on YouTube. Can you say...
Yep.
It's like, is those are seven words that you cannot say or whatever. Can you not say the B word? You have 15 minutes, supposedly, where you can't say whatever. Welcome to the show. I am one of your hosts, the illustrious Tomcat, a.k.a. Tom Thompson, the Raptilian. Make sure to check out all my music on all music platforms. I have a new album coming. I just keep writing more songs, but I think I should eventually stop and just release it. And then who am I joined by? I feel like it's kind of been a while on our side.
I just want to say you're looking very sophisticated with your fucking swirling your big glass of wine or whatever it is.
It's pretty good. It was a $50 bottle of wine.
Whoa.
It's like 14%. It's actually very tasty. When
I love wine.
We go to the market or whatever, right? And someone that the wife knows, they're like stepdad or father-in-law, makes wine. And we were like, oh, this one sounds really good, whatever. It's kind of stronger, a nice red wine. It's actually very good. Like, I'm not going to lie. It's very good. But then he was like, $50. And I was in my head, I'm like, $50? I buy like fucking $14 bottles of wine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not spending. And I was like, we bought it and it was good, but at least we've made it last. But I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I live in Canada, man. I may sound cheap, but I live in Canada. Like, I'm taxed like 60% of my income. So, yeah, it's tough out here.
Tough out here while he sips a $50 bottle of wine. I have a new name now. We're not going to call me the horror boy for the last while.
Okay.
Because I've had so many ailments in the last, like, year. And
yeah.
More so probably in the last, like, 4 to 6 months. I'm just going to be called Refer to me now as the Parasite.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Tom just gave me that name before the episode.
Yeah, okay. I told him that you should probably do a parasite cleanse. I'm going to do one. I think it might help you. I have these pills I got to take. Like, I haven't started yet, but two pills three times a day. And then I don't know what's going to happen to my body. I'm kind of concerned about it, but you can, like, stuff can come out of you. You'll literally purge it out. But
how do you know to trust said pills?
Because I trust the promotion. It's from someone I trust. Let's just say that.
Jeez, that sounds real suspicious. There, it's like it's a guy that's telling you to take the pills, so it's all good.
No, I got them online, and I trust the company that does this. Let's just say that. And they also do, like, ivermectin. They have that. So, like, so the things that people should have, like, I'd like to have a little, like, just have some in my house. And for the people that don't understand, yeah, that it won a Nobel Prize for helping humans, literally. It's not just something you give to horses. But I think the patent, anyone can, like, make it. So that's why they couldn't give it to you, but yet other countries did, and they made you go inject yourself. So we're not going to get on to that, though. We're here to have fun. The world is a crazy place. I constantly say that because it's only getting worse. Canada's only getting more and more crazy. the amount of people that we're letting in, all the shit that's happening all around the world, in Ireland, the UK, America, you know, Haitians are eating fucking kitty cats in the street. It's crazy. It's crazy out there, boys and girls. But I want to try to have this as an outlet, a getaway for people. You know, obviously we talk about some darker conspiracy stuff and things are going on in the world, but I like to have a palate cleanser and allow people to have fun with what we're doing on the show. And we're ramping up to Halloween. I'm excited. You hear me? I'm excited, everybody. I have my OG Strange Brew Podcast shirt on when I just put a bottle cap and a bottle opener with a weed leaf and a Canadian leaf together. And I was like, this is fine. Doesn't really represent what we do on the show, but well, I guess drinking and smoking weed, but it did at the time.
Like that. I feel like it works though.
It does. And there's people that I think that still have this OG shirt. So if you're aware of the original logo, you have listened for a long time and probably heard me and Billy get pretty wasted on this show.
Anybody who sends a picture of themselves wearing the t-shirt to Tom will receive one nude from Tom.
I get to choose what it is though. You know, because I could have a nude kneecap. You know what I mean? It's like my kneecap.
It's like the nude, like the full.
Just like
spread.
Do like spread. A boudoir photo for somebody, like on a like a kid, like you know when you get the baby photos. It's like on a ooh, rug.
Yikes.
On a rug with like your hands up. So crazy. Ugh. So yeah,
that's worse.
I know. We haven't actually dived into the paranormal in a while. I'm pretty excited about this. And then to chase this strong wine down, I do have, this is like a pop, no fake stuff, natural caffeine. It tastes like Dr. Pepper. It really does. And there's barely any bad things in it. It's made with like apple cider vinegar, cane sugar. It's pretty tasty. And Aaron is drinking water.
Lemon and ginger.
Oh, yeah.
Lemon and ginger.
It's a tea boy. But this, you know, we want to start diving back in the paranormal. I always love doing the lead up to Halloween and being able to talk about all sorts of even more strange and bizarre things that happen in the world. So it's going to be geared in the next month or so more towards, you know, the spooky season. And it'll probably lead into November doing the same. You know, and I want to start diving back into some more serial killers. You'll be aware that we just did Richard Ramirez, but I have some other plans. We got some stuff in the go, you know, and I got to stop shouting it out because I remember a fan just was like, what isn't Tom going to talk about or something like that? It's like, yes.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, I know. I have OCD or something.
Also, someone did comment on over on my channel if anybody's interested in more straight up like horror movie talk.
Yes.
In case you're new here, me and Tom also host Class Horrorcast, which is a horror focused podcast. But someone commented on the Jason X episode that we just released and said, they said badass intro song.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome. I got to release that still.
That's in reference to a song that Tom made for.
Yeah.
That podcast.
I got to release that on Instagram. And I've been toying with, I actually have a couple verses for releasing a whole song on like Spotify and stuff. So I've actually toyed around with some verses in my head that would sound pretty sweet. So I think I'm going to finish it at some point. To get that same raspy voice is going to be hard. You know, I have a song called Conspiracy Theory. I wrote out a song called Conspiracy Theory Part 2. But with the beat, I decided to go very growly and I spent 45 minutes trying to get it right, and then but I like lose my train of thought, and it's because it's consistent. People don't understand how when you're doing music, especially the stuff that I do, there's not like some like you know editing. I'm not in some huge studio where guys editing each vocal. I have to do it all on my own, but then I have to, especially songs that have no chorus, I'm just consistently rapping for like 2.5-3 minutes, and if you mess up once, then you mess up the entire song. It's like but
it's a good thing I have no talent or skill.
You can talk, you know? It's like everybody else in the world.
Barely. And like I'm losing my voice now as well. That's why I was like, the one thing out of all these illnesses, it's like, why do you have to affect the one thing that I want to do, which is talk?
I know. That's why I'm always worried about going deaf. I'm like, that's why I'm wearing earplugs at work more often and stuff.
We could still Like if you were to be on the show going like,
No, I know. I wouldn't be like naturally deaf. Sounds weird, but you know, I'd just be like my hearing goes out.
Surely like after being deaf for a little while, you would start to develop that, right?
Maybe, because I wouldn't understand hear what I'm saying.
You wouldn't know how you sound anymore. So it's like,
and then you couldn't talk. You're just like, or you have one of the smoking things just because your throat went fucked.
Oh, like, I think the guy's like,
welcome to Class Overcast.
That'd be so good.
So I actually would like to cover this on Class Overcast, speaking of that, at some point, The Conjuring, at least one and two. One and two, I actually find these movies pretty frightening, especially the first one. I first saw it. I don't remember if I saw it in theaters. I think I might have. But the first two Conjuring, great. The Insidious, great. Like, It was a good spooky ghost movie, in my opinion. And this is like the real story of, I think, at least the first one. Like, this is the real story, which is based off of.
Du, du, du.
I have a new one for you. Yep.
That's even better.
So, the Harrisville Haunting House. We're going to get into this. It's going to be pretty exciting. Let's first talk a little bit about maybe the fraudsters, maybe the realsters, the realtors of horror. Ed and Lorraine Warren have been investigating paranormal activity since the early 1950s. During their decade-long career, they investigated over 4,000 hauntings, including the well-known Amityville haunting, where they were recognized as the first psychic investigators to step onto the scene. The 2013 film The Conjuring was based on the terrifying investigation of the Perrin family and their haunted farmhouse in Harrisville, Rhode Island. Known variously as the Harrisville Haunting or the Perrin Family Haunting, the Warrens would say that their investigation of the Perrin family's haunting was the most intense, compelling, and disturbing and significant investigation of their careers. Roger Perrin, his wife Carolyn, and their five children, Andrea, Annie, Nancy, Christine, Cindy, and April, endured a decade of torture from the spirits that occupy their country home.
It's a good thing that I don't use them that much, because I would way overuse all that shit.
I know. to Jules from Grey Pill Podcast said I'm a master at it, and I was like, not yet, but I'm getting there, you know.
That's scary stuff.
The guy sounds so sarcastic too when he says it. That's scary stuff. So yeah, Ed and Lorraine Warren, very famous. What is your opinion? Because I will eventually, I think we'll do it, and maybe it might come next year. It doesn't really matter with us. We can talk about the spooky stuff all year round. But I do want to cover them completely, because there's a lot of indications that maybe some of the stuff was real, but they definitely were frauds in some aspects of it.
Yeah, it's... I feel like you could... See, this is the problem as well now with, like, the vast amount of information we have on the internet.
Yeah.
That, you can kind of nearly find as much information one way as you can the other.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
If that makes sense. So, like, I can research, you know, the Warrens, scam artist fake or whatever, and I'll find countless different, like, reasons why and all the backstory and why you shouldn't believe anything they said, and they were just, like, scam artists and scumbags and blah, blah, blah. And then I can find the other side of it where people will give you all the reasons why they believe that it was real and a lot of it was actually happening. I honestly...
What do you personally think?
I don't know anymore. This is the thing. And that's why I find it quite intriguing, because I'm like, I definitely feel like there's a degree of like they were quite clever at what they were doing after a while and started to maybe kind of embellish some of the...
Oh yeah, like stuff. Anyone would.
And, like, to be honest with you, I would probably do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I definitely think they embellished, especially it seems like Ed did. They seem like a very strange couple. You know, just look at the style back then, man. It's just so wild. Like, look at this hairdo. Her forehead is, it can reach.
To be honest with you, she looks like a young version of fucking Mary Shaw from Dead Silence.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know where I sit with them, to be honest. Some of the accounts that they gave, I'm kind of inclined to believe more than others.
Yeah, I agree.
If that makes sense. I think we'll probably, like you said, we'll probably end up doing like a full deep dive into them as a whole. And I think it'll be interesting to maybe like study both sides of the coin, and then maybe at the end, see have we come to a definite conclusion.
Yeah. I think that would be a good choice. And then we can cover The Conjuring on Class Horrorcast, at least the first two, because that's the ones I actually really do enjoy. And then, you know, we can lead it towards people if they want to check out either the horror movie aspect. That's why it's good about what me and Aaron do is we're able to have this kind of crossover. And it works in a lot of ways because a lot of things that are talked about within movies actually do reflect reality in our own society or hauntings and weird things that have happened, you know. So this is the family right here. Nice looking family, you know.
Children are pretty scary looking.
I know. Okay, it's like very excited to happen. I just didn't feel like any picture back then, you know. It's like the family kind of scene, like the mom and dad.
You know what, though? Actually, what you're saying is right. If you show me any picture from, like, those kind of eras and were to tell me, like, oh, this family was, like, haunted, I'd be like, yeah.
Of course they are.
Yeah, I'd look at the picture and go, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah,
look at that one girl looks like she has black eyes, you know? Like, so it's just that obviously the cameras back then, but it does make...
And the one second down from her looks quite scary looking.
Oh, yeah, her face looks, like, mangled.
Ugh.
Different times, right? And I don't know, I kind of dig the style. I think we should bring back pantyhose. It sounds weird, but I do see a lot of young girls that shouldn't be, like, I don't know how their parents let them out of the house. I feel like a society, like, there's the one aspect, you know, you go, you know, just in general, right? You have the too far where you're wearing a burqa and you can't see your fucking eyes, or whatever they call the hijab, and you just, like, see these weird beaten women eyes through like this cutout. Sometimes not even that. Sometimes it's a mesh that you can't even see their eyes at all. That's too far. But then there's the other way where it's like they're wearing like the super short shorts and they're like 12. Like, and then you have predators out there that feed off that stuff. Like even someone I know that's from the country that I absolutely love, India. It's such a great country. Oh man, amazing. Amazing people come from there. If you can't sense my sarcasm, but he
isn't
he
that did, where all the doctors and engineers?
Yeah, where did they all go from? Why we have people pooping in the streets everywhere? But the thing is, he wasn't used to seeing women in bikinis and stuff like that too. So like, and I'm about freedom of expression and choice and freedom overall, realistically. But I feel like we've kind of become a little degenerate in our society and how often we do show things that are sexualized. And that's just my opinion. If you want to stick a 12-inch penis that's the shape of some sort of elephant tusk or something, I don't care. I was going to say trunk, but tusk came out.
Yeah, trunk would be even scarier.
Yeah, well, and there's people that do that shit, man. So it's like, I can't help but like obviously comment on some of the things that are happening in the world. So there's two ends of the spectrum, but you see like how people are dressed in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I do find that it is kind of more wholesome. Let's say that, you know? You know, you get me?
I tell you one thing, they must have been busy.
Oh, I know. They were fucking, you know? Which...
Big time.
Now they're telling people, don't do that. I saw an article where it's just like, it would be irresponsible to bring children into this world. Yeah, because you guys that perpetrate the media, that are parrots of the narrative and the government, are allowing the world to become like this, where it is like people are getting murdered in the streets because they're a color of skin and stuff like that, right?
Tom has become possessed.
Yes, I am possessed. I can't help it. I try not to bring politics in the show, but I've seen the state of my country, and it very much upsets me. So the Harrisville Haunting House, there they are, the Warrens, in ghostly form, just maybe. This is her going all out. She's having an orgasm.
Oh, Jesus, she's going to have some bunion on that left leg.
I know.
On that toe, that shit is bent up.
Oh, those are tight shoes, bro.
Yep. Here's a something I just thought of, right? So is she dead now?
Yeah, she like just died, I think.
Yeah.
Not long ago.
He's dead a while. Surely to God, right? If anyone wanted to prove their like everything they were saying was right, shouldn't they fucking come back and haunt somebody?
Yeah, I know, right? Realistically.
There's a horror movie we could write.
Lorraine Warren.
Imagine being haunted by the two of them.
Yeah. I heard he was a wild man too. Like just like really embellished in the idea of like using religion to like cast away the spirits. Kind of looks a bit mad,
to be honest with you. If you told me like this, he had a bunch of bodies locked up in a shipping container or something, I'd probably believe you.
Yeah, and her too, honestly.
Yeah.
They both kind of look crazy, so, but I don't know what I'm going to look like when I'm that age, so who knows? It's a pretty creepy place. This is the oldest photo of the farmhouse that I think we have. Just imagine, like, I don't know where, like, I don't know, maybe I might have reincarnated. Yeah, it's very unsettling. Imagine living back there, man. I don't know. And I'm sure, I don't know, some of us may have, because I do believe in reincarnation, or the idea of the slave reincarnation that we just keep coming back and we're like, there's a parasite feeding on us. But that is just, I don't know, all the old photos, especially like this one, gives me chills, bro. It's creepy.
It's very, like, bizarre and unusual looking.
I know. Why are they all
that
just
was probably back
there?
In a time as well where, like, did they have to stand there for, like, 4 hours?
I know. Different times. So the Harrisville Haunting House, seeking to move the children to a quieter home, a life in the country, Roger and Carolyn Perrin purchased their dream home in the winter of 1970. The old Aaron estate was 200 acres in size and was the originally plantations in the area that surveyed by colonists. So John Smith in 1680 deeded to Roger Williams for the formation of the state of Rhode Island. Located on a round-trip road in Harrisville, Rhode Island, the 10-room, lovely, charming country home was built in 1736 on a beautiful plot of land and plenty of room for their 5 children, all girls to roam about and play. Nancy and Christine Perrin shared one room, Cindy and April another, and Annie had a room all to herself, except on the nights when Annie the sisters came crawling into her bed, trembling and crying in terror. So obviously she was the oldest. And it is like, I actually do really love the movie, especially the first one, of that, like, you know, perfect-esque family, you know what I mean? It's trying to live their life, and then just things keep getting worse and creepier, and that like hide and clap game that they play. It's just like, it is one of the, to me, whatever, the first two at least, especially the first one, was one of the pretty perfect paranormal film, like a film about a haunting. I thought it was pretty good.
I haven't seen it in so long. I'm kind of like, I kind of want to, as soon as we finish recording, go and watch it straight away.
Yeah, I know. I actually want to revisit it, especially after doing this episode. You know, there is some frightening scenes throughout the film that I do enjoy. And we'll get to how much of this is based on the truth. So the Perrin family began to notice something was amiss from the first day they stepped into their lovely new home. Later, it would be learned that 8 generations of family have lived there and died. 8 generations. That's why I'm like, with people like, this is fucking stolen land. It's like, people have been here for like 400 years. Can we cut this out? Like, stop living in the past. Because like, there's been people here since how long do we go on saying this bullshit? So I hate that. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. It's like, you can't live in the past. You can't. Talking about the past, sure. And bringing things to light that need to be talked about, sure. You know, so we don't make the same mistake. Kind of thing, but we are in the process of it. So, you know, the 8 generations lived and died there. So that's a lot of dead people, which is quite crazy. And you think about, like, even that photo that we showed of the type of people that live there, how many families live there, tending to the farm.
Have you ever seen, not to cut you off, that picture you had up on screen?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen online, and, like, I never actually looked too much into it to see, but see the chick standing kind of just off center in the checkered.
Yeah.
So there was like a thing started, I'm assuming it's probably just a rumor started online just to try and like stir up. Yes. Yeah, yeah. You've seen that then.
Oh, whoa. I didn't. That's crazy. So I knew it was supposed to be Bathsheba or whatever, the witch. Yeah. But I didn't notice that she's wearing a mask. Why is this woman wearing a surgical mask?
Weird.
Man, that is weird. The Arnold State Farm, circa 1885. Is it possible that the suspect of the witch of the Bathsheba, Sherman, is in this photo? That's creepy.
If that was the case, like, that would be creepy as fuck. Because she kind of looks out of place as well. She's, like, in the foreground.
Yeah, it is
everybody
really
else
weird.
Is, like, back. Like, everyone else seems to be back, like,
a little
a couple
further.
Of feet.
Yeah,
and she's
weird.
Just there.
That is actually pretty creepy. And
it almost feels like the people on the left-hand side of the picture as well are just looking at her, if you look at that in the background.
Oh, yeah. It is weird, man. That's so strange. I didn't notice the mask thing. That's bizarre. That was a thing at the time of the Spanish flu, which wasn't from Spain. Guess what? It was from China. So, you know, it is so funny. Like, Spanish flu, it wasn't from the... And I think that, my opinion, it was engineered in. There was things going on that they're not going to tell you, man. About that whole disease. Pretty bizarre, man. So they started beginning, they noticed since the first day that they stepped into this lovely new home. There was weird stuff going on, right? And in the old Arnold estate, a lot of people died. Mr. John Arnold, who at age of 93, Mrs. John. So it's like, don't give her her full name. Don't give her name. She is just, it's so funny back in the day where it was like that. Where it was like, you know, it would be like Mrs. Tom Thompson, you know what I mean? Mrs. John Arnold, who at age 93 hung herself from the rafters of the barn. 93? That's what people are like, well, they didn't live that long back then. It's like, she lived till 93, way back in the day. And now people, the actual, the life expectancy is actually rapidly declining in the entire world. I wonder why that's fucking happening.
My great grandmother only died like a few years ago. She was nearly 100.
That's wild. My grandma died and she was 92. And she used to drink beer all the time and stuff.
Yeah, like she was a real like old school like Irish lady. So like, I don't know if that had something like, because the rest of the family always said like, oh, that was like, that's the reason why, because people aren't built like that anymore. She saw some shit and like, she's just able to tough it out. Whereas like now,
I think people just give up.
Person just like, yeah, just like give up at the slightest little inconvenience.
I know. Well, that's
she had like
so funny.
Fucking 13 kids or some shit.
So we gotta do, man. Gotta keep it going. You know, we're only
7%
of the population.
Like worked all the time in like England and all sorts of places, and just left her with 13 kids.
That's so crazy. She's like Old Dirty Bastard, man. Old Dirty Bastard had 13 kids. And then he died of alcoholism. So,
I don't know if I'd like to have 13 kids.
I joked that I would have 7, but I don't think it's. And the thing is, it's not feasible anymore. But yet, you know, because primary people in the Western world, white people, they want a nest egg. They want to be more responsible. They're just not popping out kids because they have 6 wives, like some other cultures and stuff. So people are like, "Well, you guys are not having kids fast enough. We're not able to keep up with everybody.
Really?
The fuck else? What?"
Does that really happen? She's never heard that before.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
What countries are they?
I know. How we can't keep up with the people that have already billions of people with inside their country. So I can't help it, man. It just comes out in the show. I can't help it. You know, I'm in an excitable mood, seeing like, you know, social media, just, especially mine, is just full of this garbage of the things that are happening in the world. I need to do what you do and just take a break from it. So this 93-year-old lady didn't tough it out. It's like, you probably would have died 2 weeks later, but for some reason, you're like, fuck it, and then like hung yourself. I think that's fucking crazy. 93, and you're like, I'm done. I've lived long enough. And it's like, then hanging, I feel like it seems more painful than like putting a bullet in your head, even the old bullets back in the day.
Yeah, hanging is, I think people picture hanging, and they think, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we'll just hang and I'll be dead in 2 seconds. Like I had, not to make this like super morbid, but I had like a really close school friend, like a high school friend, who was like a really close friend of mine for like probably 6 or 8 years through school, who hung himself. And like, I kind of, from the family and stuff, heard some more like details about the whole like thing. And supposedly it's not as great as people make it, you know, that like you will just wrap something around your neck, drop, and just go like, and be dead.
No.
And like they said that like there was signs of like, on most people who do it, there's signs of them
grabbing the rope and
yeah, like basically regretting it as soon as you
which is just fucking one crazy. Of my close I've known some people that have done the same. I had a buddy and him, one of his like best friends did it in a park, like in a park, like a public park. Pretty
imagine how fucking like obviously I feel for anybody who you know feels that way and their families and stuff, but like I can't even imagine like being in a position where I'd be walking somewhere and then look up and see a fucking real body.
Yeah, I would. It, you know, that's crazy. Like when that douchebag went to the suicide forest.
Oh yeah, that fucking idiot.
Yeah, that goofy fuck.
Do you see what him and creepy KSI and creepy Mr. Beast are doing now?
No, what?
Do you remember years ago we had that thing Lunchables?
Yeah.
So they have this new thing now called Lunchably, right? And it's basically the same concept. It's the exact same concept, except you get a mini bottle of Prime. You get
so feeding the kids poison. That's smart.
Yeah, yeah. A mini Mr. Beast chocolate bar. And then the other one is you get a choice of either it's a mini pizza, some other bullshit fucking thing, some chicken dog shit thing that looks like rubber, and something else. So that's
all that was poison too. I don't know
and
why
it's
our
hilarious,
parents fed
right?
Because
there was
shit.
A dude I seen on TikTok, and he moved his family from the States, and they live in like fucking, I don't know, like Thailand or somewhere, and like they eat all like fresh fruit and veg and stuff like that, and like he has chickens now and all this shit, right? And like he had a video up this morning, and he was like, "Anyone remember this shit when they were growing up in the States or Canada or anywhere?" He was like, our parents used to feed us this shit and not know any better. He was like, yeah, that was like 25, like 30 years ago. It's 2024. Anyone who falls for this shit and feeds their kids this poison.
I agree. You deserve your kids having cardiac arrest. It sounds fucked, but like really, if you're not going to like look at what you're eating, I look at everything I eat and what's in it. And I'm not the prime example of health. Obviously, I'm actually going to, I've been working out. Sorry, we go off topic on the show. It's just what happens. This is the conversations. I want the show to be just conversations, to not be a laid out format. But I'm gonna sign up for the gym. There's a gym really close to me, a small town. There'll be like nobody there at the time I'll go. So I'm dedicated to becoming healthier. I think everyone else should, you know. But if I was executed and they tried to hang me, you know what I'd do? I'd fucking just jerk it so hard and so fast that I would come. You know, the idea of I've never experienced it, but you choke yourself and then you like fucking get off to it. I would do that, especially in an execution. You know, everyone would just be seeing my fucking, just my fist pounding, and then I'd be like, oh!
What you can do now though is when you're going to the gym, don't worry about making like any sort of healthy food or anything like that. You can just bring Lunchables with you.
Yeah, so fucked, man. It's like pure poison. But it's so crazy, like the just the world we exist in. Yeah, it's just nuts. I had something else I was gonna say, but I was like,
it's crazy. Like they're not even trying to hide it. Like at least years ago, they would try and like pretend that Lunchables were healthy.
Yeah.
Whereas like now they're openly being like, have a bottle of garbage Prime and have a garbage chocolate bar.
I know. That's it. Come on, people. You know, you can't let, you gotta take responsibility for yourselves, because if you looked around lately, what people look like, it's not really that healthy. So
that's the thing. I'm going to get off of the topic now, but like this dude that made the TikTok, like he was literally going crazy. And I've never seen this dude like, you know, use like any sort of like foul language or anything, but he's like going crazy on a video. And he was like, do you really think that any of these motherfuckers that have kids, he was like, other than the sex creep Mr. Beast, maybe let's see if any of them feed their kids or anyone in their family this bullshit.
It's the same thing like Steve
garbage.
Jobs not letting his kids have iPads, and you now know, we have an iPad, like, generation, man. They're all dumb.
When will they ever see fucking Logan Paul or KSI, both of who are in really good shape, eat fucking Lunchables.
Yeah, I know. Lunchables just sounds stupid, man. Lunchables.
It's so cringy. Like, it's just fucking sad.
It is sad. We live in a sad world, and what's even sadder is other unfortunate losses of life on the estate, including several suicides, hangings, and poisonings, the rape of an unsolved murders of 11-year-old girl Prudence Arnold, later presumed to have been murdered by a farmhand, two sudden drownings in the creek located near the house, four men who mysteriously froze to death on the land, and it did not take long for the parents to understand why the previous sellers advised them on that day that they moved into the house to leave the lights on at night. That's crazy. That's a lot of death on one property, man.
Now, this is not necessarily a question I had, but I did hear somebody else on a different show or on something bring this up. Why would any sort of spirit or a ghost or a demon or whatever give a shit if the lights are on?
I know, right? Realistically, let's turn them off. Click. You know, and that would even scare you even more, right?
Like, I'm sure, right? Like, part of me kind of hopes that, what's her fucking name?
The
scary bitch.
Bashy Thayer or whatever.
Yeah. I kind of hope that the real version of her looks like what they made her look like in The Conjuring.
Frightening. It looks kind of close though, a little bit, man.
I'm pretty sure that something that looks like that is not going to give a fuck if I leave the lights on or not.
I know, 100%.
Like if I seen her in any context, I would shit my pants.
Even just like her normal face, like that woman staring at you, like under like
that, that over scene where the girl is standing in the room in The Conjuring, and she looks up on top of the wardrobe, and that bitch is up there.
Oh yeah, it's so
horrifying,
so scary. I actually thought that I had that. So scary. Yeah, I would. That's what I'm saying. There's a couple of really horrifying scenes throughout this film that actually does make your hair stand up on your neck, and you know, it's just wild, the amount of like deaths. But it's supposed to be started off with friendly hauntings. So the Harrisville haunted house at the ghost, the first ghost, or demon spirits, as the Warren investigators thought of them, were harmless. Described various as opaque or somewhat solid in appearance, and many spirits in the old homestead, one ghost smelled of flowers, while another would gently kiss the girls goodnight in their beds every night. That's wild. The ghost is kissing people. And then, like, I heard that they thought it was their mom, and their mom smelled like lavender soap or something. And then they realized it wasn't their mom. You know, they're, like, just nodding off, tired. And then maybe through, like, the peeking through, like, the lids of their eyes, as they're, like, tired little children, you know. And then it's supposed to be she smelled of, like, fruit and flowers, and it would kiss them.
Yeah, it was, what was it? They said, like, that, the mother smelled like ivory soap or something like that. And then this smelled like
fruit and flowers, I heard.
Dude, I don't know though, right? If I went to bed tonight and I was like half falling asleep and I felt something kiss me, and I wouldn't care how nice it smelled or anything, like, I think I'd be pretty freaked out, to be honest. I don't think I'd be like, it's the friendly ghost, Casper. Woohoo.
Yeah, I know. It's the ghost of the pudding guy. Is that guy's like name? Get your pull pops. What's his name?
You were completely alone in your house, let's say Chelsea was like gone away somewhere. It was like late at night, and it was like some shit kissing you in the bed in the dark.
I'd freak out.
Yeah. I don't know if I would find that anyway friendly or like enjoyable.
I'm surprised that they didn't like add this in the movie, actually. Like a ghost kissing them. Like night, like good night, you know, kissy kissy.
Also, I wonder, right?
Who's that black guy that fucking gave people the date rape drug? Why can't I think of his name? Pudding Pop guy.
No idea.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Oh my God, now I gotta look this up. It's gonna bother me. Now I'm gonna be like, oh my God, that's who it is. Pudding Pop guy.
Do you think that, I don't know if you'll get into this.
Bill Cosby. Bill fucking Cosby. Yeah, he's kissing you goodnight. The ghost, he's not even dead yet, but... Yeah.
You look up and his face is just there.
Boone pops. I can't do it.
The big white eyes and all the bloodshot.
Yeah, I know. Scary looking dude.
So like they're talking about here about, you know, kissing people and ghosts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have it in your notes or whatever, but at some point as well, it's mentioned when we get kind of farther on in the story to the Parton family that one of the girls, I don't know if it's, is it Andrea who's the one who wrote all the books and stuff?
I think so, yeah.
Didn't she say, or one of the daughters said something about there was also a male ghost or demon that showed up in the house at some point, and he was very scary. It was a very scary and violent spirit, and they didn't speak of exactly what he'd done. All they said was it was a very unsettling thing to have him in the house with five young girls.
Oh yeah, I heard that too, which is disturbing. So what is he doing to them?
So is this like the, is this potentially him? Is this the start of him being all like,
I know, really, I know, right?
Is he like a groovy ghost?
I know. That is weird. That's a good point. You know, creepy though. Having a ghost, like I've heard of some weird things throughout, like the, just overall of hauntings. Like me and Billy, like we did two episodes on spectrophilia, where that's where people fuck ghosts. And you know, people, like people believe in their head, but even just having a ghost like come in and kiss little girls in their bed is just disturbing.
Question actually on that. Is it more women fucking male ghosts or
of course
males fucking female ghosts?
It's more women, of course. They like to fantasize about all sorts of crazy shit. It's okay, definitely more
and is,
women.
Is there any dudes that you can remember?
Yeah, yeah. There, as far as I know, I think so, but not as many as women. Same with aliens that fuck. If you guys haven't checked out the Sex with the Aliens episode, that one's a fun time. That's before we had cameras and stuff, but at least the spectrophilia episodes, we were able to film that stuff.
It's just so funny to me that the idea of like a dude and he's like busting a nut going like, ooh, that tight ghost pussy.
I know. How would you feel that? Women claim it's definitely more women that they've been fucked by ghosts. So weird. If you guys have not checked out both those episodes, there's all three of them, the two parts on spectrophilia and the Sex with the Aliens ones. I wish me and Billy could have. I think that's one of the main reasons why we got our Facebook page banned originally. We had like hundreds of people on the original Host Heads page, and there would be fans sharing stuff now. We have the Host Heads page. So if you're on Facebook, you just look up Strange Brews Host Heads, you'll find it. It's mostly just me sharing stuff about the world and what's going on in the world and memes and stuff, and a couple of other people, but originally, we had tons of fans in there. They share a bunch of stuff. And one of the reasons why it got taken down was Jeffrey Dahmer memes. And then there was a picture for the art for the episode. It was a bunch of aliens jerking off on a chick. And it was like kind of cartoon looking. But it like they Facebook's not like that. So bad. So they would kiss. They would have this ghost kiss them on the head before bed or whatever. Like, you know, I don't think it's on the lips. And another appeared to be a small young male that the girls would watch mesmerized. Plush toy cars about the room. You know, push toy cars about the room and propelled by an invisible hand. So that must have been that little boy ghost that like. But the clapping, I think was Bathsheba or whatever. Bathsheba. Yeah.
Scary.
Very scary. Rafters in the basements of the Perrins Harrisville haunted home. One apparition, presumably, was a female ghost. One of the apparitions, presumably, was a female ghost. Was welcomed, a welcome presence in the home. The parents would often hear her sweeping noises from the kitchen. Wow, that bitch knows how to clean. It's like, clean my, you know, it'd be like, you know, like some sort of Beauty and the Beast where all the, like, the dishes put themselves back in the shelf. Like, thank you. When they entered the room, they would find that the broom had been moved to a different spot in the room while a neat pile of newly swept dirt sitting in the middle of the floor waiting to be disposed in the trash can. Yo, that's a good ghost. That is a good ghost. She's cleaning up.
Very weird way to haunt.
I know.
Well, I'll just do house chores.
I wonder if it's like a residual energy, right? Where it's like, it's just somebody who died in this house and their energy is just there, not them, actually their spiritual, but part of their energy is, where they're always just like a neat person and they just, that is lingering. Just like some of the hauntings when it comes to like Gettysburg, where there's just guns going off, but it's probably not an intelligent spirit. Bitch love to clean.
You're saying that it's some dumb bitch who knows her place and she should just sweep the kitchen for all of humanity.
Women should go back in the kitchen, man.
Wow. So rude.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tangle apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
It's so funny because there's more of a trend now where women are like, we fucked up. And if it, just for people to understand, I think that people should have equal rights. Obviously, I believe in a hierarchy. Men protect women, women protect children, and families protect society. But the idea, right, is that there is some, should be some sort of hierarchy and not a way of abuse or anything.
Did you ever
like that.
See that thing where I can't remember who it is, and he's like, yeah, I think it should be equal for everybody. I also think that women should go to war and get their heads blown off and yeah. Like their legs and arms blown away and everything.
Well, and the majority of people that actually work like physical hard jobs are males, and stuff like that. Like you being a cop, you know, I know some females can do that, whatever. But it's a job where you manhandle people. You're gonna confront one female cop's gonna confront some crazy migrant with a fucking knife. Like I really doubt that shit. So like there is this kind of thing where there's a difference between us, and the more people that claim there is, the more that I think you're insane. And now people are starting to realize, obviously, the feminist movement was fucking sponsored by the Rockefellers and communists so they could pay more taxes. So you could have both parents in the workforce when mothers primarily parented the children and taught them. And now, let's put them in the education system so they can be brainwashed. That's exactly what happened, man. People don't want to acknowledge that stuff. And now you see more females like, we fucked up, man. We didn't have to work. We could be at home with the kids. And as much as like I believe in both, I think that we should be able to live with a household that can live off of one income and then the other parent can parent the children. If there was a woman that wanted to go into some sort of career because she really, you know, I think that it is justified.
If she's
justified.
Out there, hit me up. I'll gladly stay at home with my kids.
Yeah. Aaron wants a sugar mama. So
yeah, sounds good to me. I don't want to do any bullshit job.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't like doing these physical jobs. But so Manny was another spirit of the young parent children loved. Manny was believed to be the spirit of Johnny Arnold, who had committed suicide by hanging himself in the attic of the house in the 1700s. Manny would appear before the children, often standing nearby, quietly watching the children go about their daily activities. A crooked smile on his face. Amused at the children's play. If eye contact was made with Manny, he withdrew from sight and suddenly as he appeared. And I've seen the shadow people. Everybody knows that. I've said that story a million times. Shadow people experience. But man, that's just like, it's pretty frightening to think about like some sort of like spirit just like watching over you. And you can see him out of like the corner of your eye. You know what I mean? Like it's such a weird thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm mad on the idea.
Yeah, well, that's what you think about, man. Every time, like, if there's certain spirits that do exist in the astral world, are they watching you like whack off or you know things like that? It's like, is your grandma be like, what are you doing, man?
I reckon if there was someone haunting me, they would give up pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that shit.
So like, they'd probably be like, whoa, I'm bailing on this one.
Why is there a finger up his ass? <Just kidding>. Gotta get off, Grandma. So Foxy, my grandma just died too. In addition to the ghostly entities, the parents witnessed many other odd and unexplained phenomenon. Beds would levitate several inches off the ground. That's pretty crazy. Telephone headsets would hover in the air. Don't know why they had handsets. Telephone handsets? Weird. Different times. Would hover in the air and slam down on the phone. Oh, like the telephone. Weird, they call it handsets. That's weird. It would like float and you're like coming in the kitchen. You're like, strange. And then it like hangs up. Slam onto the phone base when someone entered the room. Various household objects would guide about the house on their own. Often chairs would be pulled out suddenly beneath an unexpected guest. Pictured would tumble from the walls. The parents once reported seeing an orange ooze blood in a wall dissolve into nothingness. But then I'm like, is that them saying it or is it the Warren saying it? Because you know about like the blood on the walls of the Amityville Horror, a little different, you know what I mean? Like it's I think fabricated.
Yeah, well that's the thing, and I think
if you're tripping stuff, out, you're very scared.
Stuff like that is probably what's maybe tainted maybe some of the more true stories like this one.
Yeah, I know.
Is the fact that, you know, later on they were involved in other cases and stuff, and there was a lot of like maybe potential fabrications to make it more dramatic.
Yeah, I think that could be quite possible. The Arnold Family Cemetery, where Bathsheba is buried. You know, maybe she's buried. Here's a picture of that. Pretty wild. Her. Sherman. What a name, Sherman. Pretty scary. They chose a pretty good makeup for
terrifying. It's dude. Actually like haunting looking. Yeah. That's not actually her actual surname either, I don't think.
Really?
That was her married surname.
So what's her actual name? Do you know?
I actually can't remember.
Weird. So not all ghosts of the Harrisville were welcome, the welcome visitors. She would, some would yank the girl's legs and hair during the middle of the night. That's where you see that in the film. That's pretty frightening. Where the stop fucking around or whatever. Like, stop messing around with the little girl. And she gets, like, pulled out of bed. I gotta say, it does make me want really, I'm definitely gonna rewatch the movie for Halloween season. And who knows, maybe in Class Horrorcast, you'll get it in November or something. I'm just gonna write notes of horror movies I'm watching now. Just so I can keep up to base with what we're doing on the other side. Others would loudly bang at the front door of the home. With such force, the entire home would shake. I would shit myself. We had a bat in the house. That was scary enough. Try to get that thing out the door. Imagine like you hear a slamming. Like especially at that time, I don't know. There's something a little creepier, like, because we're living in the era that we are. The 90s doesn't seem as creepy, but something like the 70s, 60s, and then beyond that just seems to get incredibly more creepy because you have less explanation of what could really be happening, especially if you're just a family on a farm property, like, really, in the middle of nowhere.
And it's that thing as well, like, I mean, I see people online that said, like, oh, well, why, when all this stuff started to happen, why didn't they just leave the house, and why didn't they do this, and why didn't they do that? It's like, yeah, so I've moved on to a farmhouse with 200 acres of land. Yeah. I have probably sunk whatever money I did have into this.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you expect me to just move out? And it was a different time. Like, I know. Here now, like, if you get fucking, I don't know, if you don't get oat milk in your coffee in Starbucks, like, it's like somebody can be put in jail for life.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Like, this was a different time. Like, so a lot of people probably been like, crazy motherfuckers, you know, shut up. We're Who not cares? Like, yeah, like, and it was, I think it was a bit more like, and there's a lot to be said for that. I think we could take a lot of things from that outlook on life, but it wasn't like now, like a minor inconvenience now, and people are like, well, fucking GoFundMe, and like, you're going to have to like do this and do that. It's like, these people probably put all their money into this. They have kids and stuff. Like, it's like, well, guess we're going to have to live with the crazy demons. And
it's a big property too, right? It'd probably be way cheap compared to the things we have nowadays. The dad was probably the only one working. And it's just like, we lived in a time in society where that was possible. And then for some reason, bankers needed to use usury, and we needed to make this worse and worse and worse. Now you're just a tax slave. Even though I think everyone, Like, realistically, that's where you are.
Imagine how shit it would be, though, to think you found, like, your dream home dream property with all this land and be like, wow, we've really struck gold with this. And then, let's say all this stuff does start happening like this and be like, shit, we can't get out of here now.
There's, like, some sort of demonic force that's, like, you trying know, to...
And it's probably one of those things where, like, everybody else is probably like, oh, that's just that crazy family that makes up stories. Mm. But at the same time, it doesn't sound like too many people were lining up at the door to buy the property.
Yeah, I know. And the stories are true about how many people died, right? Like, it is so strange. Doors would slam shut on their own, while others would stay frozen in place, unable to be shut no matter how much force was applied. And that, like, let's take everything with a grain of salt to some extent, but I've had my own experiences. That's why I tend to believe some of the more what the family was saying was happening. One entity in the home routinely kept the family awake as it continually cried out in the night, "Mama! Mama!" While another apparition tortured an 8-year-old girl, Cindy telling her over and over again, "There are 7 dead soldiers buried in the wall. 7 dead soldiers buried in the wall. 7 dead soldiers." I can't fuck. I started to hurt my throat. Yeah, this ghost just kept screaming that. That's fun.
It's what you want to hear when you're a young child.
I know. What? One of the parents recall a small, delicate spirit appearing to be about the age of 4, roaming around the house crying and calling for her mother. One of the spirits is so evil, the parent family to this day will not disclose what it did to them. I don't know what that means.
That's the dude that they said it was a male presence. Yeah. And they didn't elaborate at all. And I looked at that chick's 3 books. It's referenced multiple times. I've watched podcasts with her as recent as 10 months ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, that chick, Andrea, I think it is.
Yeah.
And she just always glosses over that and like says, "I've been offered money. I've been offered like book deals. I've been offered podcast deals. I just don't want to get into that particular."
So that's just crazy. She's been offered all this stuff and she's still not admitting what...
Now,
what happened?
The skeptics out there would say this is marketing 101.
Yes. Yeah. That's
which,
true.
Okay, there's an argument for that. But it's like, if not now, when? Like, I don't know how old this chick is, like, but she's obviously getting on in years. So it's like, at what point do you cash in on this?
I know.
You know, because at a certain point, it will probably be forgotten. Like, at some point, this whole resurgence that the Conjuring universe has made will just become another like speck in like movie making, and people be like, "Oh yeah, that Conjuring thing that was out that time." Oh yeah, like Insidious is kind of that's happened with it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Where people are like, "Oh yeah, Insidious, wasn't that thing that came out like a long time ago?" No, I don't really care. And like, so let's just say playing devil's advocate. Okay, let's say she's doing it to try and like drum up more interest.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous game though, because it could get to the point where that interest turns to zero, and then nobody gives a fuck.
Well, according to this, Andrea or whatever hinted that the unmentionable spirit may have molested some of the young girls when asked about it during an interview. She avoided the question, telling the reporter, "Let's just say there was a very bad male spirit in the home with 5 little girls." And that's crazy. So, like, are they diddling their, like, that's fucked, man. If that is true, to have those type of feelings from something that's invisible, something that's so invasive, is pretty crazy. You know, I understand that women that want it, you know, like that's frightening to even think about, like that would be happening. It's bad enough when it's your uncle, Aaron would know, but like it's imagine an invisible creepy uncle.
I already choked.
I know. I was like, I'll swing my last little bit of wine. The most horrid ghost in the home targeted Mrs. Perrin specifically. Known as Bathsheba, the entity was thought to have been the ghost of Bathsheba Thurman. What a name, man. What a name. The old creepy witch lady that they chose for the film, very creepy.
I really
creepy.
Hope she looked like that in reality.
But look at like even what she looked like, the actual person. She looks dead inside. You know? There's something like her eyes.
Dolls eyes.
It's like this, in this very stern, look. And of course, who knows if she's actually a witch, but the entity was thought to have been the ghost of Bathsheba Sherman. Or they call her, Bathsheba Theron was her original name. I think before marriage or whatever. A practicing Satanist and witch who had lived in the home in the 19th century and died after hanging herself from a tree behind the barn. Bam, bam, bam.
That's so scary stuff.
There have been a couple of like different stories I had seen about her.
Yeah.
And about like how she got a reputation or whatever. So there was a story that she had been babysitting a neighbor's son when the young child mysteriously died. Local doctors established that the child's skull had been impaled with a small tool. Despite the fact that Sherman was the last to tend to the boy, the case never went to court, and this left a lot of the locals, especially the women, enraged. According to legend, her own son would never celebrate his own first birthday, as his mother stabbed him to death a week after he was born. Her confounded husband is said to have caught her in the act and witnessed her vowing allegiance to the devil before climbing the tree she would hang from in 1849.
I love the devil! And then she's like climbing up the tree like some sort of muskrat. I don't know if muskrats climb there, it's just an analogy, but...
There was claims that they had other kids.
Yeah.
But when people went to check like the census and stuff, there was no records of any other kids existing. Some remain convinced, however, that none of these siblings lived past 7 years of age. Ultimately, her story remains largely unsourced, while records confirm that her husband died in 1881.
Yeah.
Her tombstone is in downtown Harrisville, revealing her date of death as May 25th, 1885. Her alleged suicide in 1849 appears to be utterly fabricated.
Weird. Huh.
Oh, interesting. So today, Andrea Perrin is unconvinced that it was Bathsheba Sherman who terrorized her as a child at all. But the neighboring Arnold Estate matriarch who hanged herself in the barn in 1797 instead.
Ha, like the mother.
Interesting. Which might tie into, and it works for, I suppose, both stories, but they did say that the reason they felt like that the mother was being targeted so much is because the spirit or the demon or whatever felt like... That it was like trying to like take her place or whatever.
Yeah, and it's weird, like, what if something to do with, like, the father is diddling the kids?
Yeah,
and
weird.
And then the mother finds out, and that happened more often than people want to understand within certain families, right? But in some cultures, that's just natural, right? That's just what they do.
I seen interviews with her as well where she said that, this demon or whatever, hated my mother. And lusted after my dad.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, was he getting, like, hand jobs in the barn off of that thing then or what?
Getting a blowjob like Dan Aykroyd? Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Like fucking scary movie.
I've told this before on the show, way back when me and Juan were doing it. I was convinced I got molested by a ghost. I was fairly young. This is when I was... Listen, this is Darren shaking his head. For all the audio listeners. I was convinced that I was molested by a ghost. So I used to use the Ouija board a lot. We called who we thought was Emily Rose. Come to find out that she claimed, weird as fuck too. Wow, this all ties together. She claimed that she was killed in Brampton. If people don't know Canada, Brampton is a city near Toronto that has now been colonized by Indians. That's a fact. That's what it is. That's what happened. But it used to be a nice, wholesome 80s town. Just fucking tons of actual Canadians that lived there. It's so wild that, like, so she claimed to be a chick that drowned there, I think, and she would talk to me all the time on the Ouija board. I don't think it was this girl that it claimed to be. I think it was something else, and it would be the same ghost, and my friends, when I was using my friends, all sorts of different friends, I would be using the Ouija board, and then I claimed there was two female spirits in my house, and then the one night, I swore that I went to bed with underwear, And then I just had like a weird fucking dream. And then my underwear was across the room when I woke up. Like someone tore it off me.
And, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then when I talked to the Ouija board, I'm like 12. Okay, I'm 12. When I talked to the Ouija board, it told me that the two female spirits molested me. And this is how crazy. I don't even care to tell the story. I was very young. I had a big imagination. I would pretend to hold the ghost's hand and I would feel my hand tingle and shit. And I was 12. But I was using the Ouija board a lot. So God fucking knows. Because I do think they're conduits. And I do think they're a way to communicate with things that are outside of reality, either alive or dead. And the creepier thing is if it's alive, okay, like some sort of being that exists beyond our reality. But there was definitely something talking to me and my friends. It wasn't just us fucking around. Is that weird? Scary shit, bro.
I don't know what the scariest part of that story is, that you're getting like jerked off at 12.
Yeah.
Some like mystery ghost.
Well, I had
ghost.
Sex when I was 12, so.
Yeah, but I feel like that's like a tangible thing. I can be like, okay, right, it was like a physical act or whatever, but the idea of you being like stripped as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, by some ghost and they're molesting me. So fucked, but. And now it's like that the clip from Marilyn Manson's Ghost Story where he's like, now you understand why I am who I am. You know? When he saw that haunted house shit that just disappeared. That's a fucking real story he claims. So the parents were not a religious family. Weak in faith. It was theorized that the primary factor for the particularly violent and active nature of Bathsheba treatment of the parents' family, credence to this theory is strengthened when they learn that only previous residents not have reported any odd occurrences was a local minister. So people claim you have... No, religious. Lorraine Warren explains that this was important. You only have to have your faith as your protection. I always had my faith. God protecting me allowed me to do this. At that particular time, the parents did not have religion, and it was very dangerous. Which is like, come on, like, you can still have faith in, but I guess people can claim whatever. Bathsheba was vile, hideous creature described as having a face similar to a desecrated beehive? Weird. Covered in cobwebs with no real face and feature other than vermin crawling from the crevices. Now, who said that? Was that just what, was that what Lorraine Warren interpreted it as? You know what I mean?
See, it's very easy as well in these situations where if you're the clairvoyant or whatever,
yeah,
to be like, I suppose it's similar to like, I don't want to compare them to like your shitty, like, you know, mall fortune teller or whatever. But if I'm the one leading the charge, like if I come to you, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen this probably replicated in horror movies as well since then. Is it the last exorcism where it has the dude?
I didn't know if I watched that garbage.
It's from like,
maybe I did.
I want to say like 2013 or something like that. It's actually quite a good movie, but basically I'm nearly sure that's the one. And the plot of it is, you have this guy who is a priest or claims to be a priest or whatever. And he claims to be able to go to your house and like, you know, sort out your like, possessions and all this shit, but basically what happens is they come in and like they set up like all these little fake things in the room
to
give the effect that like he's like, you know, purging something. And then obviously they get to this one house and it turns out that she's actually fucking possessed and he doesn't have a clue what to do, and he has to like kind of admit, I'm a con artist, I'm full of shit. But what I'm saying is, like, it's kind of interesting, like you said there about, was this, like, what Lorraine interpreted this stuff as? Is this what she said?
I
suppose if it was back then, you know, they arrived to this farmhouse, and if you're talking to this family and you realize, like, that they believe in, like, religion or this or that, I'm sure it would be easy for her to lead them down the path that she wants.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, like, who else are you going to turn to? Like, these two people show up at the door and they're like, we're the only people that can solve your problem.
I know.
And we believe you. We don't think
you're crazy. Buy my book or whatever, right?
You know, so it's like, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because it's like, nowadays, like, if that happened to me, I would be feeling like, am I a fucking idiot for, like, getting this person here and maybe paying them money? But then at the same time, nobody else believes me. And
yeah,
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's true. So you did touch upon this about, you know, Bathsheba Thera was born in 1812 in Rhode Island, married fellow Rhode Islander Judson Sherman. What a name. Judson Sherman. On March 10th, 1844, when alive, Bathsheba had lived a life of solitude, an outcast community. She was believed of killing her own baby to sacrifice it to Satan. The baby's body was found to have been impaled, as you said, with a sharp object. Lacking evidence, the case was dropped. And she had three other children. They said that didn't survive, but I don't know how accurate that is. Her children may have not been her only victim, but Sheba was known to brutalize the staff, often starving and beating them for minor infractions. When Bathsheba died on May 25th, 1885, the coroner wrote that he had never seen anything like it. Her emaciated body had eerily solidified, seeming to turn into stone. A very similar story of witches. It was easily recognized that Bathsheba had her favorites in the household. She tortured Carolyn Perrin, one of the daughters. Cindy was often a frequent target, lusting for the dad. Ooh, man. You know, it's just she wanted that dick. You know, wanted to get that dick in her. That's been a while. She's turned to stone, so she wants to give him the hard on. Roger Perrin would take the broken machinery down to the cellar to repair it while working. He would often he felt Bathsheba touching him, gently caressing his neck or running her hands down his back. Sounds like a good ghost, man, giving him a back massage. But longing for Mr. Perrin, Bathsheba hated Carolyn. It was clear that Bathsheba wanted Carolyn out of the house. The bed of one of the Perrin girls on August 1977, an article in the local province journal described the appearance of Bathsheba. Mrs. Perrin said she awoke from before dawn one morning to find an apparition by her bed. The head of an old woman hanging off one side over... I might as well do this. Utilize my fucking music. Mrs. Perrin said she awoke before dawn one morning to find an apparition by her bed. The head of an old woman hanging off to one side over an old gray dress. There was a voice reverberating, "Get out! Get out! I'll drive you out with death and gloom." Yes. In the beginning, Bathsheba's treatment of Carolyn was merely just cruel. Carolyn would be pinched, slapped, which I think they do show in the film, or have objects thrown at her. Her greatest fear, fire, was soon discovered by the entity and used to repeatedly strike terror into as Bathsheba banged torches against her bed. Wow. While demanding she leave the house immediately. That sounds fucking frightening, man. To have some sort of spirit, like, you know, like maybe like throw candles at you or some shit. Pretty spooky.
Especially if it looks like that.
I know.
So I don't know what it is, but that terrifies me, dude.
Yeah, everyone that's watching, just stare into her eyes.
Jesus Christ. Like.
Yeah. They chose a good makeup artist for it. It's fairly scary. And especially that one scene where she's got the blanket over her and she's starting to possess the mom. That is scary. And it like kind of cuts open. That's supposed to be her. Seems like a good looking woman. She looks way, it's so funny how, like, for some reason time beats these people with a wood stick. Because look at her there, supposed to be the real Bathsheba Thera, or whatever, and she seems like a good looking woman wearing a corset and a big old weird dress. It seems like that would take a while to get on that outfit, and then you'd stink after wearing it for 3 days. And then you see this image, and it's like, it does seem like time takes these people. You know, working as a farmhand, whatever. And it's just like, and then it's, if you see people like Belle Gunness, that me and Anton covered a long time ago on this show, of what she looked like when she was young, and then what she looked like near her end of her life was like frightening in comparison. Pretty weird. So as time progressed, the attacks grew harsher. In one instance, Carolyn was lying on the couch when she felt a sharp pain in her calf of her leg. She examined her leg and found a large bleeding puncture that would looked like as a large sewing needle had impaled her skin. Later, after the threats failed to motivate Carolyn to leave, Bathsheba took a different attack and attempted to, invade Carolyn from within. Believing that Carolyn had been possessed, the parents called in the psychics, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Here's where they make their official appearance. Ed and Lorraine Warren come onto the scene. Psychic investigator Lorraine Warren, often as the original paranormal investigators, for decades helped investigators hauntings, demonic possessions across the country. In many of these cases, they were able to convince the Vatican to provide exorcisms of the spirits that they found. Probably was pretty lucrative business. Meanwhile, get the priest from touching the little boy, so at least they're distracted. The parents heard of the Warrens after one of their many public speaking engagements, pleaded with them by the mother to save them. By this time, it believed that Bathsheba was physically possessing Carolyn Perrin, and an assessment that Ed Warren could not disagree with. Daughter Annie Perrin, Andrea, remembered that the night of that the exorcism took place. That night, I thought I saw my mother die. It was the most terrifying night of all. She spoke in a voice we have never heard before, and a power not of this world threw her 20 feet in another room. She seemed frightened.
I was going to say something there about that.
Unfortunately, the true story of the parents' family haunting ended differently than the Conjuring movie portrayed. In reality, the Warrens were not successful in ridding the parent family of their hell-bent tormentors. Carolyn Perrin recalled that dreadful night and explained that even though the Warrens' intentions were good, they essentially found that things got worse around them. As the situation spun out of control, Roger Perrin demanded that the Warrens leave the premises, which is fucking crazy. And they had to flee their home. Like, we're getting out of here because this is not so crazy.
So they had the opposite effect then?
Yeah, literally. The parents soon learned that every occupant within the exception of a local minister and his family of the old Arnold estate had reported supernatural phenomenon on the homestead. In fact, the owner just prior to the parents had hired a contractor to renovate the house. The contractor had been busily renovating the home when suddenly stopped working and fled. And it was reported he had left the home screaming, leaving behind his tools and his car. I wonder what the hell he saw. The owners never moved in, and the home sat vacant for several years before the parents discovered it on the market, which is frightening. He's like, oh, fuck, and just like screaming as he leaves the house. Like, what happened to him, you know?
Yeah.
What did he see, you know?
That's nearly, to be honest with you, some of that stuff, like, that's nearly scarier to me than, like, actually being told the story.
Yeah, is having someone kinda, like that.
Yeah, and it kind of just leaves it up to your imagination of like, I don't know what I think happened, but it must have been awful.
I know. So the Warrens, Ed Warren died in 2006, but Lorraine Warren at the time this article came out, still actively investigating paranormal cases. She runs the private, she's dead now. I think the son took it over. The occult museum and back in their house in Monroe, Connecticut, with the help of her son-in-law, Tony. I think Tony might run it now. Admission is open to the public with prior reservations with a small charge of admittance. I heard it's fucking expensive. So, like, typical trying to, you know, get money, you know, especially the son-in-law or whatever. Why not make the money realistically? You know what I mean? So the parents, Andrea Perrin, wrote a book of their experiences in the home, House of Darkness, House of Light. She tours the country giving lectures and recollections of her time in the haunted house. The current owners, according to Adrian Perrin, the current owner, Norma Shutcliffe, who purchased the home in 1983, stated that she, her husband Gary, and various other visitors to the home have had paranormal experiences in the farmhouse, including the door banging in the front hall, sounds of people talking in another room, and the sounds of footsteps scurrying around the house. And one odd incident where her husband's chair began vibrating in the study room. They claim to have witnessed a glowing blue light shot across the bedroom, fog floating through the room of the home, and vibrations of the wall so intensely they felt the home was going to come apart. And I heard that she said, like, that it wasn't, it's not as bad as they were saying it was. It's not that bad. It's still not normal for you to hear, like, people talking in your house, vibrating, and your husband, like, his chair just starts vibrating while he's, like, in it. That's not normal. But the way that I heard that she kind of talked about it was that it's, like, it's just, like, a whatever thing.
Yeah, I had seen that, like, so much so that they kind of, not that they wanted to prove that it wasn't true or anything, but, like,
Yeah.
I think they were getting sick of, like, the popularity of the house.
When
and stuff.
The movie came out, they were like, you know, why is this happening?
They're like, this shit's not real. Like, it's fine. Everybody forget about it. Yeah, we've had some, like, kind of weird shit happen, but not in dangerous, not in, like, unsettling or scary.
The house does look creepy. I don't know if this is, because this is, so this, that's, I don't know if that's.
There, it looks like some shit from Long Legs.
Oh, it does. That movie was pretty freaky. But this is definitely the house. So I don't know if the front, if we, because like, I swear this was on Google as the house with the white rafters. That's weird. I don't know. It's hard to tell because even when I was getting images from the for the episode and things to pull up, this is supposedly the house. So it's like there's different images, and I don't know if people, this is for sure the original house, but so there's the white siding on that picture. So it's very weird. I don't know which house is which. This seems plausible. Like that's probably legitimately the house. You know?
The mystery of the house.
Nobody knows. So several visitors have been to the home and have independently reported seeing an elderly woman, hair in bun, moving silently through the house. Pretty weird. So we're going to get into it just a little bit about the real Ann doll. The Anna doll. We'll be covering this on another episode. I do want to, you know, throw it back to haunted dolls. Me and Billy, I think the fourth episode ever of the show, we did cover haunted dolls. It's on the Patreon now. If anybody's interesting, it's the best way to support the show. There's a lot of content on there and even more stuff that I have not released. So the first Annabelle movie I thought was pretty creepy. We're just going to get into slightly a little bit about her, but still bizarre, right? What do you think?
About the Annabelle doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I can see obviously why they changed the look of the doll for the movie. Because yeah. I don't know if it would have been as effective having the actual
raggedy
doll. Yeah, probably wouldn't have had the same thing. But I did see actually, if you notice on the left hand side of the case, there is a card that has the devil on it.
Yeah.
And it's stapled to the outside of the case.
Oh, yeah.
So supposedly, like, a year or two before Ed Warren died, he stapled that to the door, and nobody knows why.
So weird. I think it would be more of a mystery. Let's leave it up to the people, but at least I'll mention this, that the doll shown in the Conjuring movie was based on a separate case. That's why I don't think it's necessary to cover, even though I got a little bit on it, from the 1970s that paranormal investigator Ed and Lorraine Warren handled the case of the Annabelle doll, similar to eerily case like Robert the doll and other creepy doll cases. It is believed that a demonic entity dwelled with inside of the Annabelle doll, and you have a nursing student, Donna, receives the Raggedy Ann doll for her birthday, and then starts writing notes, all sorts of crazy shit. So I'll save that for when we actually dive into haunted dolls, because I think it's a very compelling story, even if maybe we cover that story on its own. In general, maybe we'll leave that up, for the listeners and the watchers that maybe we'll cover the case on its own as a separate thing, because it'd be a fun episode. But there's a lot of haunted dolls out there to begin with, so we'll fill your ears maybe this Halloween season with some more haunted dolls. You know,
I love Satan.
Yes.
Yes, what? You do, Tom.
Yes. What do you think, man? What do you think of the haunting, man? Do you think it's legit?
That's scary stuff.
All the cases they were involved in, this one
is one of the most compelling, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say. Still some strange things. Don't know how I feel about Ed and Lorraine. There is a case to be made. Like, so we don't really know what went on with like the whole seance thing down in the basement. And like, obviously the reports of like things got worse after that happened. And then there's a small part of me that can't help but think, was that like a ploy on the Warrens' part?
To be like,
well, you're going to have to upgrade to our super saver deal and pay us an extra like $5,000 for us to clean up the mess we've made.
That's so true. And I think that they definitely were at least embellishing, like you said, to make money. And, you know, maybe we'll save the Annabelle doll maybe for when we talk about Ed and Lorraine Warren. Like on our Haunted Dolls episode, we might mention it because it's a pretty famous case, maybe a little excerpt, something small. But I would like to dive into it more. And if we're going to do Ed and Lorraine Warren, I like to do more of a deep dive. But I did actually really enjoy this. This was a strange case. I love getting back into the paranormal. I love the Halloween season. And this was a kind of nice intro other than Richard Ramirez, which you could say is kind of Halloween, but he's just a psychopath. But this was a good step into the spooky season.
I would agree. It's got me quite psyched now. I'm actually going to contemplate falling asleep to watching the first Conjuring movie. It's kind of unsettling.
I know. I think I'm going to watch it for sure sometime soon, especially in the month of October. And like I said, just keep an ear and eye out because we will be covering at some point on Class Horrorcast. Maybe we'll do it in November to keep that kind of Halloween season going because sometimes I just don't want to leave it once Halloween happens. You know, I'm still kind of in that vibe for like 2-3 weeks, which I feel like I'm always in that vibe. Or I'm angry about the state of this country. I'm either like really into like the paranormal and aliens, or I'm really angry about the state of the country. I gotta kind of make
one or the other.
Yeah, really. So everybody, thank you for listening. I don't say that as often as I should. Thank you for listening and tuning in. And we really do appreciate everybody that does listen to the show. It means a lot to us. And, you know, the best way to support us is Patreon, buy merch. I just released the Class Horrorcast design. Like I said, we don't make much money off it. So if you can rep it, I actually bought myself a Class Horrorcast shirt, a couple of cool posters. So, you know, it's the best way to support us. There's a bunch of stuff on the merch site of Strange Brew Podcast. You can go to www.strangebrewpodcast.com. Our link tree is always in the description of the episode wherever you watch or listen to it. So you can click that and you'll get a link tree to even my music, our website, everything. The website needs to be revamped a little, but you'll find all the stuff on there too. All the merch sites, but that's a good way to support us, you know, especially like the actual logo, I think is pretty gnarly. And to get that on a t-shirt and then wrap that, and the people are like, what, man, what's that? You know, that shirt's pretty cool. So, you know, and then, yeah, I never know how to end these things, but your support means a lot. And leave 5-star rate and reviews, especially wherever you listen on audio. It does do more than you'll ever understand. And thank you to everyone listening. I'm having people reach out to me on Instagram. This fan, well, some guys try to send me mushrooms and weed. And I was like, I don't know if that's a good idea. We do have a P.O. box. I want to say that. I do have a P.O. box. So people did want to send me stuff that is legal. All for it, as much as I would love that, but I don't think that's a little sketchy, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's like one of those things.
Yeah, and then let
someone else try it.
Yeah, I know. That's what we were joking about at work. It's like, I was like, at Town Sawyer, I was like, you can be my guinea pig, man. He's like, I thought you were going to actually give it to a guinea pig. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna make you eat it or take it or smoke it, and then you let me know how you feel after.
Just give it to someone you don't really like that much.
Some homeless guy on the street.
Yeah, just be like, here, free. Yeah.
Free drugs, man. And then I'll come back in an hour and see if he's like slumped over like an L. Or upside down L. So, yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed themselves. Please support the show. And I love you, you know, and thank you for listening, you know. We're getting into the Halloween season. I'm fucking stoked. And shout out to make sure people know that there will be a Halloween live special. We've planned on the 25th. If Aaron's not there, I'm going to hang him from the rafters of a barn. So the 25th should be around 7:30 Eastern time. We got all the costumes thought out. I know what we're doing. That's a big thing I want to shout out to people to watch on YouTube and Rumble. Support Rumble. You can get it on fucking apps. You can get it on your TV. YouTube is bullshit. Just fucking support Rumble and find us on there. So, do you want to shout out Class Horrorcast? You got anything to shout out there, bud?
Yeah, just classhorrorcast.com. Yes. First Class Horror on Instagram. Class_horror on Twitter.
Yes. Support us on X too. Strange Brewcast. I never shout that out often. Strange Brewcast and Instagram. Support us on the social media platforms. I never say that. I never say it.
Yeah, if you go onto Instagram and search First Class Horror, you'll find the link tree is in the description, and you can find everything from there basically, and that's where I'm most active. So
yeah. We just did a face off of Freddy versus Jason. The time this comes out, you can go watch it, you can go listen to it. It was a fun time. I actually really loved doing that episode. All episodes.
Yeah, so it'll actually release tomorrow.
Crazy, today, I'm excited.
Wednesday, 18th of September.
Yes. Because it's probably pretty late for you. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Stay strange out there, all of you. I love you.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.